Hallelujah. You know, I think title this morning is Who's That With You? Now, we all know about the Holy Spirit. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? Have received that special biblical experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. But you know, many times we relegate that to maybe just a time when you pray in the Spirit, or a time when there's a moving of the Spirit of God in frivolity or laughter, or in maybe a dance or a shout, or sometimes just a very, very quiet place. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you know, we need to realize some other things about the Holy Spirit. First of all, we need to realize unless Jesus had gone away, the Holy Spirit would have never come. Turn to John 14. John 14, 16. John 14, 16. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and I want you to get another glimpse of the Holy Spirit with you. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you. Note that, for he dwells within you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, this is Jesus announcing to his disciples that he's leaving, but they couldn't immediately go with him. And now, this was sort of bad news to these guys. They had left their businesses, they had left families, they had left social position, they had walked away from their religion. And now Jesus shares with them that he's leaving, he's going away. But the good news is that he said, I would ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. He tells them that he won't leave them alone. He won't leave them with orphans. He actually, the language he's using here is to describe the Holy Spirit as a person, like Jesus himself. He's telling, if I go away, I'll send you another comforter. That means that has to be another, if he's going to send you another comforter, he's talking about like himself. He was there in person. Now, comforter there is a word in the Greek, parakletotos, and sometimes we just call it paraclete, the Amplified gives you exactly the full meaning of that word comforter there. It says comfort, or parakletotos there, comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. That's seven different personality, aspects. Thank you, Marvin. That's seven different personality aspects of the Holy Spirit. How many of you realize that each of us, we have a personality, and it has different aspects, right? We all do. This tells us the Holy Spirit. See here, we need to get a hold. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a helper. He's an intercessor. He's an advocate. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. You see, that's more than just praying in the Spirit or having some service where the people call it a Holy Ghost service. And as far as I'm concerned, every service is a Holy Ghost service. But what they're talking about, some kind of a manifestation, and thank God for manifestations, but you don't have to have manifestation in shouting or running to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Come on now. See, until Jesus went away, this comforter, this couldn't come. Now, we'll get into it a little more in a minute, but hey, actually, many people live far below their rights, Christians do, because they really are not conscious of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them and what the Holy Spirit is. They don't realize who he is and what he can do for them. You know, from one of Oral Roberts' books, Brother Oral, I knew him back when I was a teenager, when Dad, back in the 50s, when Dad traveled, and it's really unusual. Three of the men from that 50s healing revival, and I guess the only three that really come all the way through was Dad, Oral, and T.L., and Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, and T.L. Osborne, and they all three ended up right here in Tulsa. I don't know what that means or anything about it. And people didn't realize that Dad and Oral were very good friends. Oral never said anything. Dad never said anything about it, but they would go over to Dad's house, and Evelyn and Oral and Mom and Dad would pray and so forth and so on. And in his book, he said he was struggling in the early days praying for the sick. And he thought if he could just see Christ in the flesh, he says, or feel him, or hear his words or something. And finally God spoke to his spirit and said, when you have the Holy Spirit, it's exactly the same as having me in the flesh right by your side. For all practical purposes, it is if I am walking beside you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, everything I was to my disciples 2,000 years ago, I am to you by the Spirit. And that's not only for him, that's for us. See, we need to get a hold of that reality that the Holy Spirit is with us at all times. He's there with us, walking with us to help us, to strengthen us when we feel weak, to give us counsel when we need somebody to speak some wisdom to us. Hello, you there? Yes. Now, look at John 16:7. John 16:7. He's reiterating these truths again about the Holy Spirit coming. John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you." And that helper word there, that's that same word as parakletos. Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now the New Living says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come to you. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." I want you to notice the different people that are translating, you know, the Bible. They're using it's the same Greek word, but they're using a different personality trait of the Holy Spirit as they do this. And then the Message says, "So let me say it again, this truth. It is better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you." Now he was telling the disciples here, hey, for you, it's better that I go. And for us. You see, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, could not come until Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. You see, it's whenever the Holy Spirit came, now all of the promises that are available to us, you see, until Calvary, the Holy Spirit came only upon the prophet, the priest, and the judge or the king. You can read that in the Old Testament. That they had the Spirit upon them. They were anointed by that oil. Any of you ever read about that over there? Excuse me. But now the Holy Spirit has come, and it dwells in us. We had the Spirit upon, but they had the Spirit upon. We have the Spirit within. Amen. Hallelujah. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, he indwells the believer. Until Calvary and Jesus raising from the dead, which we just celebrated, what, 2 Sundays ago? Resurrection of Jesus, and he ascended on high. Until that happened, the Holy Spirit could not come. Now, you see, Jesus was here And he was limited to wherever he was personally. He was limited to that. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent with all of us, all of the time, everywhere. And it's not limited to one specific place or person. You see, everyone we have, every one of us, has equal access to God through the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do anyway? The Holy Spirit, he brings conviction. Without conviction, there is no salvation. John 16, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. Now, secondly, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Look at John 16, 12 and the first part of 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, person, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. He won't speak himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Amen. In other words, what he hears God saying. Then thirdly here, the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Now, John 16, 13, the B part of 13. And he will tell you things to come. Then the Holy Spirit will show us the things that Jesus has obtained for us through his death, burial, and resurrection and being seated at the right hand of the Father on high. Look at this in John 16. Here we go. John 16, 14 and 15. John 16, 14 and 15. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Amen. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us that begins to declare to us everything that is Jesus is ours. Amen. Now, you know, it's really interesting here whenever we really get to talk about the Holy Spirit, because so many people relegate the Holy Spirit to an experience of being filled with the Spirit and then to, you know, praying in the Spirit or having a jumping service or something. But I want you to realize the Holy Spirit is a whole lot more than that. A whole lot more than that. And many times we do not rely on the Holy Spirit like we need to. But he's in us, and he's in us, and let's go back there and see. He's in us for what? To be a comfort when we need comforted. To be a counselor when we need somebody to tell us something. To be a helper when we just need somebody to give us a little help. To be an intercessor. What's an intercessor? Somebody that pleads for you. An advocate, a strengthener, a standby. The Holy Spirit's always standing by, but he doesn't do anything till you tell him, till you give him authority to. That's like a helper that's standing by to help somebody, but they don't do anything until the person tells them what to do. The Holy Spirit's always standing by to minister. But he doesn't minister. He doesn't go on his own. You have to release him. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit is the greater one. John, 1 John 4:4, we all know what it says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he, amen, who is in you, is greater than he that is in the world. I want you to notice it doesn't say he who is sometimes with you. It doesn't say he who was with you yesterday in the past. It doesn't say he'll be with you in the future, although he will. But he says he who is in you. That's present tense. Now. Now. Continually, constantly, he is with you. Point to yourself and say, the Holy Spirit is constantly with me wherever I'm at, wherever I go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now somebody said, well, now wait a minute. I haven't been filled with the Spirit. Well, there is the experience of being filled with the Spirit, but you are, the Spirit comes to you. It said right there, convicts you of sin, and he is the one that is there with you in salvation. And then as he comes, as you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you get the really reality of who he really is. First of all, you just get the reality that he is there to redeem, help redeem you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me understand where I'm coming from. Anybody getting anything out of this? I want to excite you about him. See, Hebrews 13:5 says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Jesus. But he also told us when he sends the Comforter, when he sends the helper, the standby, the paracletos, when he sends him, he will never leave. We read that a while ago. Be with you always. See, the Holy Spirit abides with us forever. He is always there. I don't care what's going on. You got to release him. We got to release him. My dad used to preach a sermon when I was a little boy. It was one of his sermons I loved. When I was four or five years old. I'd always ask him what he, because he traveled and preached. You know, we traveled, and he only pastored four churches, and those were only about 3 years each one. But the rest of the time we traveled. I said, what are you going to preach on tonight, Dad? And he said, I don't know. Well, I said, why don't you preach on Loose Him and Let Him Go? He had a sermon called Loose Him and Let Him Go, and he was talking about when Lazarus came out of the grave, you know, they had to unbind him, and the Lord told him to loose him. So he see, we need to loose the Holy Spirit and let him go. Now, you can have a guard dog, and somebody can be attacking, but until and dog's pinned up, but until you let him go, that dog can't help you. I got a great Pyrenees mountain dog in my backyard. He weighs about 100 pounds. He stands up, put his paws on my shoulder, look me in the eyes. Don, my son-in-law, Don, down Don Burns, he doesn't like Lucky very much. But now, Lucky, I call it smiling, he bares his teeth, and he's wagging his tail, but he bares his teeth like he's, and he looks like ferocious, but he's really just smiling at you. But I tell you what, it scares most people, because when you got a 100-pound dog flying at you with his teeth bared. But now, this is the point I want to make. You can have the Holy Spirit with you, but when you're being attacked, you have to turn him loose. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, take over. If not, he'll just stay there. because he's a gentleman. He won't kick the door down. The devil's not a gentleman. He'll kick the door down, tear out the window and everything else. But you have to say, Holy Spirit, take over. Come on now. See, John 14:16, and I'll pray the Father, he will give you another helper that may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit stays with us. We're never alone. We are never by ourselves. The enemy will try to make you feel like you're alone, like you're by yourself. You're not. He's always there. You never face anything alone. You never face a problem alone. You never face anything alone. He is always there on the inside. All you got to do is say, okay, Holy Spirit, get him. Come on now. I know that may be a little funny, but that I want you to get a hold of what I'm trying to say to you. The Holy Spirit is there for us. Yeah. We never do anything for God and his alone. The Holy Spirit's always with us. Amen. We never go anywhere alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. Amen. The Holy Spirit lives within us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Give you an opportunity to turn there. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then you might also want to look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. I'm not going to turn there. That's just a... Now, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, this temple here, and I studied this in school, this word temple here is referring to two things. Now, I want you to go with me here. How many of you remember studying the tabernacle and the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple in Jerusalem? How many of you remember studying that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, dwelt in the temple? In the Holy of Holies, right? Now, let's come to the New Testament. Where does the Spirit of God dwell? In this temple. See that? See, sometimes we don't get the reference of it. And remember, the power of God was vital in the temple. In fact, in Solomon's temple said the power of God was so present that they couldn't even get in the door. Anybody ever read that over there? Huh? You ever read that? Hey, we got that same power in us. You see, there's the temple in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit dwelt in the temple and the Holy Spirit dwelt there. In the New Testament, it is us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Hallelujah. You see, this is referring, that scripture, that word temple has two meanings there. Right back here, the temple in Solomon's temple, the presence of God's name, the present body, the individual believer. Hallelujah. Hey, the Holy Spirit occupied that house. Now the Holy Spirit occupies this house. Occupy, inhabits, resides, stays, remains. Where? In the house. Woo. Point to yourself and say, the Holy Spirit's in the house. Whoa. That just ought to make me excited, didn't it, you? Didn't that sort of make you excited? Woo! Come on now. Holy Spirit's in the house. Glory to God. I don't know about you, I'm getting excited. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You know, we could say then, see, God's address in the Old Testament was in the temple. God's address in the New Testament is us. This is God's address. Now let's go back to that scripture. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is
greater.
What?
Greater.
What?
Greater.
Greater than he who is in the world. Contemporary English says God's spirit is in you and is more powerful than the one that is in the world. Good News Bible says, because the spirit who is in you is more powerful than the spirit in those who belong to the world. Now, John Gill, in Gill's exposition of the Bible, he said, this scripture, this is what he says. He, as a spirit of truth, is more powerful than the spirit of error. When the enemy comes in like a flood or pours in a flood of errors and heresies, he lifts up a standard against him, causing him to fly, and secures the saints from being carried away with it. Hallelujah. Now, there's a fellow that I know. His name was Kenneth E. Hagin. Happened to be my father. He would say this all the time. We need to be more conscious of the greater one on the inside of us. Candy, you heard him say that? That's his granddaughter sitting up there, Candy. Craig, you heard him say it? That's your granddad. I've heard him say it hundreds of times. How many of you were students of his in Rhema or listened to his tapes have ever heard him say that? We need him to be more conscious of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Yes. You see, greater. Say it, greater. God wants us to know that the Holy Spirit is far more powerful and greater than anything you can face. Now, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, the word greater in the Greek includes the ideas of being greater, larger, or stronger. When he speaks words to us, they're mightier than anybody else's words. His presence is more awesome than any other presence that you can be in. His power is greater than any power of men or demons. Hallelujah. His influences reaches farther than the enemy. His gifts outdo the enemy. When you know the Holy Spirit, now get this. I want you to get this. When you know the Holy Spirit, you don't have to fear what anyone tries to do to you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Now, I want you to understand when John wrote this, what was happening, there was ungodly, wicked, corrupt people whom the enemy was working through to destroy the faith of the believers. Now, Albert Barnes, in Barnes' Notes on the Bible, says the word them in here seems to refer to these false prophets and teachers who collectively constituted the Antichrist. Now, the Apostle John included them in this statement because that's who was coming against them. But we can include that for us because we as believers will face opposition. As those believers were facing the opposition. This verse then gives us an assurance of victory. It gives us an assurance of God's power, the Holy Spirit power. It gives us assurance of our protection. It gives us assurance of our provision. It gives us assurance of guidance and direction. It gives us assurance that we can make it through any circumstance or situation that we're facing. Glory to God. See, God has sent the Holy Spirit to help us live our life down here. Okay? Everybody stand. Said, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. That means the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby lives in me. So then, greater is He that's in me, mightier is He that's in me. Larger is He that's in me. Stronger is He that's in me. More powerful is He that's in me than anything that can come against me. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the Spirit that is more than just an experience of receiving the Spirit and being speaking with tongues. That's part of it. But the Holy Spirit is more than that. Hallelujah. And we need to get a hold of that and begin to live in that reality. And we won't be beat down all the time, but we'll stay on top. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this today? See, I want you to see the Holy Spirit for more than just an experience or more than just praying in your closet, more than just some kind of service that we have. The Holy Spirit is more than that. He lives in you. He goes with you. He tabernacles in you. And He is greater. He is greater.
Go back to the key.
He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. He is greater, greater. My Father is greater. Come on, declare He is greater. He is greater, greater. Is greater than all. He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all.
Now, you might have thought that he didn't know what I was going to preach on this morning, but I was hoping that he'd pick up on that, because I remembered that Keith Moore wrote this song, Greater. Actually, I think he wrote it. I don't know whether it's that. He traveled a lot. He wrote a lot of songs when he was traveling with Dad. I guess they might have wrote it in one of his. I don't know when Dad was speaking. And there's some more of that song. And we need to sing it. But I wanted you to realize. See, I pointed at him because I said, well, now, Holy Spirit, I said it in my mind, Holy Spirit, speak to him. Make sure he gets a hold of that. Because I knew as I was preaching, it started coming. You know, man, that's greater, greater. All right, let's sing some more of that now and get it really
He's
get into it.
He's greater than trials.
Yeah.
He's greater than tests.
Yes.
He's greater than any of the enemy's best. No man can pluck me from my Father's hands, 'cause my Father is greater than all. Come on, declare He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. Listen to this. He's greater than sickness, He's greater than pain, and by His great power my body can change. He's He's the great healer of every disease. 'Cause my Father is greater than these. Yeah, He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. Oh, He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. I like this verse. He's greater than poverty. He's greater than lack. He's greater than any financial attack. My Father will always supply all my needs. 'Cause my Father is greater. He's greater than these. He's greater. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, my Father is greater. Greater than sin. He's greater than all of the bad things you've been. He's greater than what was and all that shall be. 'Cause my Father is greater than these. Oh, He's greater, greater. My Father is greater than. Sin. He's greater than all of the bad things you've been. Come on. He's greater than what was and all that shall be. 'Cause my Father, He's greater than these. Oh, He is greater. Yes, He is. Oh, my Father is greater than all. Thank you, Lord. He is greater.
Spirit inside of you is greater. No, no, it's all said Father, but hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're three in one. The power of God, the power of the Father dwells in you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Did you anybody get anything out of this morning? Glory to God. Then live with the Holy Spirit more than just an experience. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. If you're not born again, then I want you to be born again so you can experience this Holy Spirit. If you need to rededicate your life to God, or you need to have what I call a no-so experience, you go to church, you don't know whether you ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody in any one of those three invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, or you need to come and have a no-so experience with Christ. Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room right now? Anybody anywhere? Hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Or is any others? Any others upstairs, downstairs, anywhere? Over here. Thank you. Thank you. Is there others? Others anywhere? Glory to God. Back here. Thank you. I see that hand. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on. This is your time. This is your time. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Then lift that hand right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. I have another invitation. You may say, well, I'm born of the Spirit, and that's what we've been talking about, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about that experience of being filled with the Spirit according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. You say, I would like to be filled with the Spirit this morning. Let me see your hand. Anybody in here want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today? Anybody anywhere? Let me see your hand right now. Praise the Lord. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm going down the front. I want to shake hands with you and I want to pray for you. Come on, right now. Step out now. Come on down here. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. Come on right now. Bless you, man. God bless you. Just wait here a minute. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on now. Come on, guys. Bless you, man. Just stand right there. Come on, ladies. Come on. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. This day you brought her, you stand with her. Come on. Anybody else want to come? If you're in the balcony, come on. Come on right now. This is the time to change your life forever. You'll never be the same again after today. This is your day. This is your time. Right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, you guys are standing here. Look up my direction just a moment. Oh, here comes some more. All right. Come on, man. Come on, man. You just made the best decision you ever made in your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. God bless you, man. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? I don't want to get too fast here. I want to make sure everybody that wants to come gets down here. Hallelujah to Jesus. I got three books in my hand. New Birth tells you about Christ, your salvation in Him, tells you about who you are in Christ, and why tongues, about the Holy Spirit. Now, if I put these out here like this and said I'm going to give them to you, what you got to do to get them? Somebody do it. They're yours. Right there. You can have them. Hey, rest of you are going to get them same books in just a minute. That's a little exercise I do because I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come to receive. It has to come from heaven on high. And just as he reached out and she secondly reached out, I want you to reach one hand toward heaven, and at the hand you're saying, God, I'm reaching up to go get what I came down here for. Congregation, reach your hands out toward them and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-soul experience with you, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, given those books. That same place you're going to for prayer right now, on 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, well, what in the world is that? Well, it's just a class for a few times to get your life turned on to God or turned back on to God. And I want to see you in those classes next Sunday morning, okay? You can go with her back to that room. Just follow Greg to that place right there. Just follow him. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Reach your hand toward him. Say this with the Heavenly Father. Thank you for everyone. Let's go into the prayer room. Thank you that they won't leave here like they came in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't forget all of the announcements, okay? Membership next Sunday at 9 o'clock, SDC 1. That's the building right over there. And in room 3456, the ushers can tell you if you don't know, help you get there. Remember all the other announcements tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Hey, Connection Team. Would you go find our first-time guests and take them to that special place to receive that special gift that we have for them? Staff, would you go to the door so we can shake hands? Thank you. Be there to shake hands, please. Hallelujah. I'm going north today. It's on the screen where all of us are going, so if you want to see us, that's where we're at. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Listen, don't forget, next Sunday is Rhema Day, okay? Now, myself and Lynette and the Crusade team, we're going to be in Toms River, New Jersey tonight. And let's see, what time does that start, Rich? 7 o'clock tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night in Toms River at, what's the name of that church?
Abundant
Abundant life. If you got any friends in that area, let them know about it. Then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we go over to Schenectady, New York, for Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Pray for us. All right. Keep us in the prayer. Believe God. Our crusades have been really, really fantastic. And part of it's because you're praying for us. I have the greatest church in the world. Y'all allow me to go out and to minister. But if I'm there ministering, you are too. You're just not there in person, okay? Praise God. Tonight, be here at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power. Come believing, come expecting. Hey, we sing a chorus. Let me get down that aisle right there so I can shake your hand. And we'll see you next Sunday. Don't forget, it's Rhema Day. Bring two offerings. God bless.
We lift you high.